Yes, good morning.
So how did you discover this fascinating story?
Well, lecturing is rewarding and fatiguing, and I left the university on a coffee break and ended up in the industrial area, which I particularly like. And I met a short man near a grey industrial building, and an enormous amount of water was flowing through an underground pipe, and we were all standing around having a look at it. And then I asked him literally what he did.
And he said...
Well, we went from there. He asked me for coffee, actually. I wasn't sure if he was flirting with me or not, but he said, you know, would you like to come and have a coffee? And I said, well, yes, I would. Can I interview you about your work? And he agreed. And, he consented to me writing and recording his story. That's the type of work that I do. And I did a interview with him and an interview with his son and recorded what it was like for them to work cleaning Port Kembla.
It sounds like a massive job. Just maybe explain to me the kind of work that these divers do.
Well, I called the piece that I wrote Girt by Sea, which was a reference to our national anthem and the importance of the fact that we're an island, surrounded by water, and then located in Port Kembla. You just can't avoid all the ships coming in, export-import. And what these men are professionally doing is they're commercial cleaners. So they're deep-sea divers, but they're actually cleaning underneath Port Kembla, which is a massive infrastructure.
And when we talk about cleaning underwater, what sort of jobs does that involve?
Well, the fellow that I was interviewing described a old-fashioned way of deep-sea diving, which more of us, certainly of my age group, may be familiar with, which is the hand signals and pulling of ropes and to indicate to people above the water what the diver is doing underneath. But technology has changed that way of doing the work. But basically what they're doing is a series of things. They're taking pylons out and putting new pylons in. They're taking barnacles from pylons, so maintaining pylons. And then you have all the drains and vehicles or cars or whatever ends up in the bottom of the ports being removed. And then the tunnels, they are actually going up into and cleaning walls and the structures that form the port.
And what did they tell you about what it's like to do this kind of work? What sort of environment that they're working in?
Well, yes, academics like to think that they know a lot, but I certainly met my match with this fellow and I knew absolutely nothing about what he was talking to me about.
And well, you and everyone else, I think, Jan.
Yeah, well, he was fascinating because my first question was to him, I don't know anything about what you do. What's it like down there? And he looked at me and he said, it's dark. And that was it. That's how the interview started. It's dark. And I sort of laughed. And fortunately, he was patient and he talked me through how this cleaning operation is carried out in complete darkness. So touch, feel, you know, feel with your hands, your feet, how you're moving within that field of just deep sea. And also, as he's talking to me about that darkness, I remember thinking, my goodness, it's like the mines up in the hill. You know, you've got miners up in the cliffs of Port Kembla who are in the ground in complete darkness doing the same sort of work, except then you put the torches and the lights, which is what the deep-sea divers are doing. They're then putting light into that haze and finding what they need to do to complete the work.
You're listening to 97.3 ABC Illawarra. This is Justin Hunster with you for Mornings, and my guest is Dr. Jan Karp, a former lecturer in sociology at the University of Wollongong, who's written a really interesting article called Girt by Sea, Port Kembla Below the Surface, profiling the work that's done by the divers who clean the areas below Port Kembla. Dr. Karp, I imagine it seems dangerous. Is that the impression that the workers gave you, that this is dangerous work?
Yeah, so Todd told me about well, there are, you know, two incidences in particular. One where if you have people who aren't qualified, who aren't working in a team at a level of sophistication and experience and education, that literally the forces that are on your body can cause a death. So they talked about someone who could be sucked up a tunnel or up a small space, and of course the body then suffers extreme force, resulting in instant death. So yes, it can be dangerous. But if you're working as a team, then you have, and it was clearly described to me that the commander of that team is the boss. And so if the commander says do this, do that, the diver then must do this. So that could mean the man I was interviewing as the father, the son would be the commander of that team or the leader. And if his son said to him, you know, Dad, stop what you're doing now, he has to comply. So there are very set rules that help to provide safety for the whole dive team.
These divers have a very broad skill set. And I know in your research, you've interviewed a man who was involved volunteering his time to recover a body. It must have been quite tragic hearing the story of how the skill sets of a cleaner can be adapted to something far more serious like that.
Yes, and I think in an age where technology, particularly GPS systems, and are lauded as, you know, the next best thing, and that although many people who use them know that they have failing points, they failed on this case to find a body that was in a car, an accident involving a younger person. And this older man was approached to help the family to on a retrieval, body retrieval. So this is a car with a young person in it. So you have people who are professionals and they're doing their best, but then what, and not locating the body successfully. So then what you get is local knowledge, and that's what resolved this issue. So we can all talk about the technology, the technical aspects of cleaning, but then you get a local man who's part of the local community who everyone knows, and he knew the fellow that had passed away. He's down on his dive. He's got all the technology equipment and he's doing his best, but then he just sort of knows where it's going to be and he finds it, instinct. The son says, stop diving, don't look inside this vehicle. Thank you, you know, for finding it, now come up. And the car and body's retrieved. And that's a community service. That's when Port Kembla, as it is, and Wollongong, a bit larger, becomes a really important community where everyone's working together and doing the best that they can under very difficult circumstances.
It's a really interesting topic that you've chanced upon, Dr. Karp, and I really appreciate you taking some time to tell us about it this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.